Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report, online at schachterenergyreport.ca. He's speaking from my hometown of Calgary. Welcome back to the show, Joseph.
Wonderful. Glad to be with you again, Jim.
Joseph, WTI crude topping $90 for the first time since November. What's the story there?
Well, there's a lot of bullish chat going around. One, of course, OPEC is saying that because of they're extending the cuts. Originally, they were talking about cutting 1.2 million barrels, OPEC as a whole, for July and August. And then Saudi said, we're going to cut an extra million. So that would have been 2.2 million. And so you had significant cuts for July, August. Then in September, Saudi said they'll extend it to the end of September. And they made an announcement a week or so ago that they were going to extend it through the end of the year. And, of course, November, December, demand picks up because of winter heating season and also the winter driving season. So it's tightened up supply and demand. The EIA thinks it'll be balanced out. The IEA thinks there'll be a shortage. So all of that chatter is going around. And commodity funds that were net short are being squeezed on their shorts, and they're reversing. And so we popped over 90 today. You've got a lot of bullishness out there. I'm getting a lot of calls. What should I buy? What should I buy? And I think the risk is more to the downside when things calm down, because the demand in the U.S. is not really rising much. If I give you the cumulative daily average from the EIA from the Wednesday report, demand year-to-date in the States is 20.15 million, down 0.7% from 20.3 million a year ago. So demand is lower than a year ago. And if you look at the U.S. production, supply is up to 12.9 million barrels of crude oil. That's up 800,000 from a year ago. And when you add in the NGLs and renewables, the U.S. supply is greater than U.S. demand. So the U.S. net imports, when you look at the balance of it, they're not importing. And when you take into account everybody's throwing out how low the SPR is, when you take into account the SPR relative to days of net imports, and you compare that to just a few years ago, before Biden came into power, you were looking at, let's go back before Trump was in power. You had probably net days of imports were 60 or 70 days. And right now we're looking at net import days that are around 130. So we've got way more net import availability than we had before the U.S. shale revolution took off. And so from my point of view, I think that we're sitting with some pretty decent inventories. And of course, we're seeing economic slowdown in Germany, UK, China. So I think that the optimism is a little excessive here. And so we're recommending to our clients that they take some profits and keep core positions, but wait for the next low-risk buying opportunity, which I think will happen sometime during Q4.
Warren Buffett has been big on crude, a major investor in Occidental. Did he make the right move if we would have followed Warren?
Well, when he bought it, of course, prices were $10, $15 a WTI, less than they are today. Oxy was spending a lot of money repairing their balance sheet after their acquisition splurge, and he was looking at decent dividends and dividend growth. So, yes, he did the right thing. And, you know, at the same time you bought Oxy, you could have ended up buying, you know, almost any of the Canadian oil and gas names and done well, too. So I would agree that that he did the right thing, and having exposure to energy has worked out very well for him. But I would say that if he bought any of the Canadian names, you would have done well. In March, when you and I were chatting, I was very bullish when we broke 70. We got down to $65 WTI. We added seven names to our buy list on March 13th, seven more on March 15th. So we ended up going from a kind of a neutral position to a fully, you know, invested position relatively. And my view is that take some profits from those names. Some of them are up 40-50% from where they were in March. Wow. And have a little cash reserves and hold the dividends. And potentially during tax loss selling season, mid-November to mid-December, or if the market retreats as I think it should, then we'll probably see another buying opportunity. So historically, you'll get two low-risk buying opportunities every year, sometimes three. So we've had two in March. We'll probably get another one maybe November, December. Investors should use those low-risk windows. When stocks get overheated, take some profits. There's a thing called the S&P Energy Bullish Percent Index. And when we said those buys, we were down below 10% bulls. In other words, majority of people were bearish. The index as of yesterday was at 96% bullish. So it's like everybody, you know, everybody in the, and you know, from the, you know, even your shoe shine guy, if you go back to the Bernard Baruch days of you know, 29, you know, when he got it touted by his shoe shine boy, he knew it was time to exit. And, you know, Joe Kennedy, the same thing, when people, I think it was his barber in his case, started touting him on stocks. So we're down the lane here with a bit of excessive optimism, and I think people should be a little prudent here.
Right. Now, when you say shoeshine boy or barber talking about it, that means they've been listening to their clients and what's hot. And isn't that a warning sign when you hear at a party and so on, you have to buy this, it's so hot, that's the time not to buy it?
Definitely not to buy it, and also a prudent warning that maybe there's too much optimism and maybe take some profits on the hot stocks that have done well for you. There's no problem taking profits, you know, especially if you have it in non-taxable accounts, RRSPs, your TSFAs, you know, booking some gains doesn't cost you tax issues. And when you get to parties and the main topic of conversation is how much money people are making in the stock market, that historically is a very strong warning signal to me that we're getting too enthusiastic, like we did in 2000, like we did in 1987, like we did in 08, summer of 08. And when we had the market correct, it was pretty severe and pretty nasty.
We'll have more with Joseph Schachter right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Joseph Schachter. Joseph, you have a big energy conference coming up. What's going on there?
Yeah, we're having a fabulous energy conference coming up on October 14th in Calgary at Mount Royal University. People can go to the website, catchtheenergyconference.com. So again, catchtheenergyconference.com. And then they can go and look at the to be able to come and book a ticket for themselves. Just to give you a mix of the companies that are there, on the energy side, Natural Gas Canadian, Tourmaline, Birchcliff, NuVista. On the liquid side, we've got Crescent Point, Strathcona, InPlay, and Surge. On the service companies, we have CES, STEP, and Trican. On the international E&P side, Alvopetro, Canacol, Gran Tierra, Touchstone, Valura. And then we have two rooms that are clean tech that are sponsored by the TMX, and they include companies in the helium, copper, lithium, uranium areas. So then we have one more group, royalty companies, and we have Topaz and Source Rock Royalty for those people who like the royalty income streams. So it's going to have a total of about 45 companies. The Premier of Alberta, Danielle Smith, will be opening the conference. It'll start at 8:30 in the morning and go till about 4:30. Parking is available. There'll be meals and food provided throughout the whole day. The tickets are $119 for attendance up till the close of business tomorrow, and then they go to $179. So people should take advantage of the ticket opportunity. And if you are in the Calgary area or can come to Calgary, it's a fabulous conference. The key thing is individual investors don't get much face time with the management of the companies they own. AGMs are mostly now virtual. So what we've done is we provide a research, a subscriber service, and that's what we talk about when you and I are on the doing these calls regularly. But we match that with an annual conference, and we have the companies that come, and the CEOs come. Mike Rose comes from Tourmaline. Paul Copern's coming from Surge. And then they have a booth, and people can come and spend time going to the presentations and then spending time at the booth. So if they own shares in the company or they're interested in the company, this FaceTime is something that's very normally not available to individual investors, and that's why we created the conference as a mix with the day-to-day research that we do on most of the companies that we'll be presenting.
So bring, I was going to say paper and pad, but nowadays nobody uses pens and papers. Bring your smart device and take some notes, because who knows when your next opportunity might be with different things floating around the planet.
Yeah, the thing is, FaceTime with the companies, and one of the things that's happening is one of our service companies, Step Energy, is bringing two units, one a frac control unit, the other one a coil tubing unit. So people may have heard about fracking and coil tubing, but don't understand it. Here's a way not only to meet the companies, but also to learn more about the technology and the technology upgrades, especially on the environmental side, where these new units are using natural gas versus using diesel. And, of course, that's having a big impact on the emissions. And the whole industry, people don't give them the credit that they deserve for how much progress they're making and how focused they are on improving their environmental footprint.
Is there anything else that we should know that's going to happen at the conference that perhaps people wouldn't find out just reading your information about it?
Well, the presentations, as I mentioned, are 35-minute slots, 25 minutes for the companies to present, 10 minutes for moderated Q&A. And as mentioned, there'll be 45 companies, 35 from the energy sector, the conventional, 10 from the clean tech side. And we have space this year. We've taken way more space at MRU, including the Bella Hall. So we have space this year for 800 people, up from 650 last year. So people who want to attend, we do have a lot more capacity, I think that people will be very pleased. Every year we try to find ways to improve the product and improve the conference, and I think we've made a good increase in the quality, even though last year was pretty awesome and we got a lot of favorable reviews. We always try to make it better and better each year. So people across Western Canada who can come into Calgary and be there for the full day on Saturday, if they can go to the website and see the names of the companies that are presenting on top of the names that I've mentioned to you on this interview, they can decide, hey, I own that name or I want to own that name. If you were going to go buy a car, you check consumer reports, you check the car, you'd go for a test drive, you do your homework. Well, here's a way to do that test drive on companies that you may want to invest in.
How healthy is the Alberta oil patch right now?
Well, there's two sides to the story here. There's the liquid side, which is doing very well, as you mentioned, with price of oil at you know, $90 for WTI, and, you know, the Canadian dollar at 1.36 US. So, you know, into Canadian dollars terms, the industry's doing pretty well. But natural gas prices are in the mid twos. So natural gas companies are not going to have as favorable Q3 results. But most of the natural gas companies do have some liquids, some 20%, some 30 or 40%. So the liquids portion will carry the day and make them quite profitable in Q3 compared to Q2. And that's when we had, of course, the $65 price in Q2. And so I think you're going to be looking at some pretty good comparisons when the Q3 results come out in November. And so, if people want to take advantage of the market duress that I see happening, knowing which names you want to own, coming to the conference, meeting the companies, you can prepare your shopping list. And if we do see this correction, as I expect, then you can know which names you want to own, and you can take advantage of the prices when they come into more favorable and lower price ranges to be bought.
For the people working in oil and gas in Alberta, what's the job situation?
Oh, there's a shortage of labor for drillers, shortage of labors for the fracking units. Head office environment, there's probably no problem in Calgary for engineers and things like that. Geologists, geophysicists are probably looking for work because the industry is more of a manufacturing game where they're focused on the shale play, the Montney, for example, or the Duvernay, and it's more of a low-cost manufacturing approach than it is a geology and geophysics approach. But I think at some point exploration will come back where we need to find more pools of oil, and that's where technology and seismic and G&G is going to come into play. Plus, on the international side, there's a lot of great Canadian companies that are working internationally, and we cover companies that are in Colombia, offshore to Thailand, Trinidad, Brazil, there's always interesting companies that we look for, and we're probably going to be adding more of those international names, because the ability to find large pools internationally is probably better than it is to find it domestically in Canada.
On the political front, any signs of any will to get Canadian natural gas overseas?
Well, we know that the big decision for LNG Canada is, are they going to go into phase two or the second train of LNG Canada? Coastal gas pipeline should be finished sometime early next year, and the gas will start flowing into it, and hopefully we start seeing shipments in the latter part of 24, where we start sending shipments to Asia. And if I think we're going to see LNG Canada and the owners saying yes to train two. And we're also seeing movement on wood fiber backed by Enbridge. Pembina is also involved in a project, and we see that moving forward. So I think as the LNG prices get stronger internationally, the incentive and people knowing that they have to go from coal to natural gas as they transition to the renewables, that natural gas is a key. And getting natural gas from the west coast of Canada to South Korea, Japan, China is a lot shorter than doing it through the Gulf Coast and bringing it through the Panama Canal, where, of course, the water levels are lower, and so ships can't be filled as much as they were. So the economics of shipping from western Canada from the ports on the west gives an added incentive to the Canadian upside for LNG exports into the end of the decade.
Do you think Canada will ever build pipelines through Quebec so we can ship LNG to Europe?
Not in my lifetime. Unless they find that they can't build more hydro and they're short of electricity because they oversold electricity to New York State and the U.S. States. If the Quebec Hydro goes to the premier of Quebec and says, look, we oversold, we can't produce this, we could do cogen, which means we need natural gas. Oops, we got to change our plans of being anti-natural gas, because the other choice is having power plants that use imported crude oil from OPEC, and you know, which is a less unsavory choice.
Joseph, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
I think these issues of carbon capture and the federal government being involved, and how much they're going to force, and when the timelines are. From what I'm hearing on the science side, to get there by 2035 is something that's the technology may not be there to do what the government wants. And what I think the government should be doing is moving with technology, incentivizing technology to get Canada in a better spot. But I also think that the government of Canada, especially our prime minister, instead of going off to Asia and complaining about Canada and that we're going to do this and that, you know, they should be bringing the choice of saying, you guys should shut your coal-fired facilities in China and India. And, of course, that's not a message that Trudeau, has the gumption to say to them, because if they would knock off their coal, that would have a big improvement on the planet, much more than any of these minor changes that the federal government of Canada wants to do. It's just ignorance.
Joseph, can you just remind us again about the conference?
Yeah, please go to our website, www.catchtheenergyconference.com, you'll see the information there, you can register. The tickets are moving quite quickly, the conference is on Saturday, October 14th, in Calgary at Mount Royal University. There's hotels in the area for people who come in or if they don't have friends to stay with. This is really a great opportunity for you to have FaceTime with the companies you may own or want to own. We think this is really the only conference of its type in Canada focused on energy for the individual investor.
Joseph, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure as always, Jim. You take good care.
My guest has been Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report, online at schachterenergyreport.ca. He was speaking to us from Calgary. If you have any questions for Joseph or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.